In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy on Salem radio show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on state government.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
It's not just a show. It's self-defense. And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
And welcome. This is the iSpy radio show, where every week we try to get a little more intelligence on big government. If this is your first time joining us, I'd like to point you to our website, iSpyRadio.com, because we're going to be revisiting some issues that we started talking about over a year ago. So if you'd like more information about what we're talking about today, that's the place to head. Here it is in brief. In October 2011, we began to investigate the effort by Ken Salazar, Obama's Secretary of the Interior, to remove four perfectly good hydroelectric dams on the Klamath River. They said doing so would restore the river, restore fish habitat, and all that hydroelectric power would be so easily replaced by wind and solar. Oh, and here's the card of a solar panel manufacturer I happen to know who just happened to donate to my campaign. Except the process itself to decide on dam removal was flawed. It was supposed to be open and transparent process, but so-called public meetings were anything but public or transparent. They were closed to the public, closed to the press, and even closed to public officials. And if you did get in, you had to sign a binding agreement not to disclose what was said and that you agreed in advance to the outcome, no matter what it was. And we found out that there were some rather dubious scientific claims behind all of this. There was debate over whether the fish targeted to be restored, like salmon, had ever really been there to begin with. According to pioneer journals and reports from the Native American tribes, salmon made only rare appearances. State Senator Whitsitt from Southern Oregon talked about all the silt that had accumulated behind the dams that was unaccounted for. And dams serve a useful purpose, like preventing floods that have devastated the area in the past and also provide inexpensive, fully renewable energy. But perhaps most suspicious of all was Ken Salazar himself. He'd publicly pledged that the effort to remove the dams, quote, must not fail. And he'd also disclosed in front of witnesses that the effort to remove the dams on the Klamath were a test case to remove dams on the Columbia, the Snake, and all across the country. In March of 2012, we interviewed Paul Hauser, the former science advisor for the Bureau of Reclamation, who turned whistleblower. It took a lot of courage to stand true to his principles and not play Salazar's game. I'm happy to announce that Ken Salazar is now stepping down and his effort to remove the dams is stalled. This is in large part due to Dr. Hauser turning whistleblower, but now other scientists are also stepping forward. This is what it will take, principled people taking a stand. If you're looking for work or considering a career change, consider taking a government position. We need to start changing government from within. We need to stop seeing the government strictly as the enemy and start seeing it as a mission field. That said, let's move on to today's show. We'll be getting some updates on what's happening in the Klamath Basin. First, we'll be talking with Dr. Paul Hauser, the Klamath Basin whistleblower. And then later, we'll talk with Marsha Armstrong, a Siskiyou County supervisor, who'll give us a boots-on-the-ground perspective. With that, I'd like to welcome back Dr. Paul Hauser, an internationally recognized hydrometeorologist and former science advisor for the Bureau of Reclamation. Paul, thanks for joining us today.
It's great to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
And it's great to have you back, too. You know, the last time we had you on air, things were still kind of up in the air a little bit. We talked with you in March of 2012, and you'd just been fired from your position about a month before. So things were still very, very raw. And I remember that you being very concerned about the future, you know, as well as what all of that would mean for your family. So there was just a ton of emotions kind of tumbling around. And I know now that your complaint was just settled last month. So I'm sure all of that's a huge relief to your family. But let's find out how you're doing. I mean, what are your plans now for the future?
Well, I returned back to the university, George Mason University, and I've been teaching and doing research there. Things have been going quite well. I started a small consulting firm on hydrology and land surface issues.
Good.
It hasn't gone anywhere yet, but I'm hopeful that I'll get some contracts and be able to do some work with a small consulting firm.
Good. Okay, great. So let's back up a little bit for people who are maybe hearing this for the first time. This all started from a press release that was written by non-scientific members of the Department of Interior. What was your concern when you saw that as science advisor about that press release, and then what actions did you take?
I was presented with this summary of science and a press release that accompanied it in September 2011, and I had previously visited the Klamath and learned about the issues there. And this press release just seemed too optimistic, saying that removing the dams was going to do wonderful things for the fish and create lots of jobs. I had seen the science, and I talked to the scientists involved, and it really wasn't quite so clear from that perspective. It was a lot of risks and uncertainties and a lot of additional things that you have to do besides removing the dams in order to have a beneficial impact on the fish. So I raised a concern. I sent some emails to scientists in reclamation asking them, what's going on with this? Am I on the right track? I got some responses saying, yep, you're on the right track. So I let my superiors know, and I was told very quickly that I shouldn't be investigating this because the secretary wanted to remove the dams. He had already made that decision, and there was a concern about my creating discoverable documents to the contrary. So I wrote some emails with my concerns in them, and they were concerned that that might come back as a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information Act request. And they,
because I remember in our first interview, to me, that was one of the really more chilling aspects of what you went through, is when they told you don't be creating discoverable documents. That was just chilling to me.
Yeah, and I didn't hear that from just one person. I heard that from quite a few people. And I got it in writing from a response to one of my emails with the concerns. Actually, a personnel, a staff member of the Klamath Reclamation Office responded to me and one of the other scientists saying, you shouldn't be emailing this stuff around. This could come back and be discoverable.
So what was your concern then about the integrity of that determination process? I mean, how was what you did, how was that going to end up impacting the final determination to remove those dams?
I don't know if it will. I'm hoping, what I want versus what is going to happen is, two different things. But my only desire is that, the science informs the decision in an honest and high integrity way. Not that science is being manipulated to try to support one option or another, just that they look at the science and its uncertainties and its breadth of outcomes to make that decision. And there's a lot of other things they can do to make the decision. There's economics and there's aesthetics and there's other policies and all that that come into play in a decision maker. But what I was seeing was they were trying to line things up to support the decision. Sometimes you do that as a policymaker. If you're finding a problem with economics, you maybe find a way to share the pain. You find a way to share the problems with pain for something. And that's a way to figure out how to make a decision, is you see who's involved and you see who can pay for it. There's other things you might look at. But it's common for a policymaker to try to massage a situation and the support for it to figure out if there is a way to make something happen. But that isn't applicable to science. Science needs to be done without policy intervention and isn't really the right venue for trying to line up a predetermined agenda. And sometimes that comes in conflict with a policy or decision maker's natural inclination to try to line up to an agenda. So that's what I was saying.
So in other words, if I could sum that up for you, it sounds like what you're saying is that, if you're going to make a policy decision, don't try to use science as the excuse to do that.
Well, yeah, or don't try to manipulate the science to give you the outcome you want.
Right. Okay, let's go ahead and take our break right here. Everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Dr. Paul Heiser. We're getting an update on the Klamath Basin area and what's going on down there. Stay with us. And thanks for staying with us on the iSpy Radio Show, where we are revisiting the Klamath Dam removal issue to get some updates on what's going on down there. We're talking today with Dr. Paul Hauser, a hydrometeorologist and former scientist for NASA. He was also the former science advisor for the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. He was fired after he alleged that officials wrote a summary and a news release to gain support for removing four dams on the Klamath River while overlooking or at least downplaying negative scientific findings that were in those full reports. So, Dr. Paul, in an interview with Capital Press, talking about your case, U.S. Department of the Interior spokeswoman Kate Kelly said that, quote, Hauser's allegations that scientific data about the Klamath project was manipulated for political purposes was still under investigation. So how is that investigation going? And are they honestly looking at it, or is this more PR kind of spin?
I heard from the scientific integrity officer that I submitted this to that they hired an outside company, outside firm, to hold a panel of scientists to evaluate the merits of my case. That panel finished up in August of 2012, and they presented a final report to the Department of Interior in mid-September 2012. I heard from the scientific integrity officer after that that said they were doing some final assessment of what this report had in it, and they would get back to me within a week. That was at the end of September.
What did you end up hearing from that then?
I haven't heard anything. So after numerous phone calls and follow-up emails, I'm just not getting any communication with them. So we filed a Freedom of Information Act request for the report and any findings that they found from the report in December. And that Freedom of Information Act request requires that they respond within 20 working days. And that 20 working days was up about a week ago. Mm. So they obviously have not only ignored our request, but now they're in violation of a FOIA request.
You're talking 3, going on 4 months now since they had finished that report. Is that typical for releasing that sort of information, that they just take that long?
I'm not sure that this is typical, but my experience of working on the other side of this with the scientific integrity issues, we did have a panel that evaluated some other issues that the department was facing. And in that case, the department found the panel found that the department was not at fault and there was no scientific misconduct. We were extremely quick to put that out to the press and make a big deal of that. Within 24 hours of getting the report, we had a press release on it. Hmm. So I think what we're experiencing is not typical. And my only guess is that it's because there's something in the report they don't want released.
I'm guessing there's probably multiple things in that report that they don't like if they're keeping it quiet that long. You know, something that was really interesting that's happened is the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act was passed by Congress in late November 2012 and then became law a month later. Do you think this new law was related to, or at least perhaps in reaction to, your own experiences at the Department of Interior at all?
I don't know that it was. I did ask my lawyers about this new act, and they said it does almost nothing to help with this particular situation, and it wouldn't have changed the course of the investigation and the results. In the end, we were very happy that the Office of Special Counsel that processes these whistleblower complaints did find that my case had merit, so that it was the scientific integrity policy is covered by the whistleblower rules even before the new act was passed. And that was the first time that scientific integrity fell under the purview of whistleblowers. So that's a big step forward.
Yes,
just
yes,
in
is.
Kind of case law.
Yes, it is. That's really awesome to hear. Our understanding, though, is that now there are 7 other scientists who have come forward through PEER, which is Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, and these 7 new scientists are also charging political coercion and censorship of science. And according to a memo dated November 8th, 2012, Jason Phillips, the Klamath Basin Area Manager, outlined his intention to reassign 7 area scientists Phillips complained that the scientific work caused him problems with other stakeholders and agencies. So what's your comment regarding such a complaint by that manager?
Well, I had some interesting insight to that. First of all, this office, the fisheries office in Klamath Falls, is the same set of scientists that I asked about my issues, and they were the ones who responded saying, yeah, there's some misconduct going on here. So there's a tie between my case and theirs. Now, I also got faxed anonymously this letter from Jason Phillips in early December from a FedEx office in Sacramento, and somebody was just saying, you know, there's more issues going on. And I found out, you know, just a few weeks later that Pierre was handling their case. So in looking at their allegation and also talking to them directly, it's clear that what's going on is this fisheries unit has produced some science results that isn't making management happy. It's either out of sync with what other agencies are finding or just in conflict. So rather than trying to understand the differences or even embrace them, because science is uncertain, there is uncertainty involved in analysis of data and different methods. Instead of embracing that, he's deciding just to eliminate this whole office. Mm. And that raises all kinds of concerns about scientific integrity and violates several parts of the scientific integrity policy.
Well, and from a communication standpoint and also from an organizational standpoint, that's just awful that they would do that, because what it is if you're going to speak out or if you have issues, you know, management would normally embrace that, like you say. But instead, this is, if you speak out, we're going to cut you out.
Right. And that's got huge implications for other federal scientists.
Yes.
You know, do we want a federal workforce that's scared to speak out when their results might differ with others? I think not. I think we really want to hear about that when they have some concern to raise.
Wow. Okay. Well, we need to take our break here. And just to me, the fact that somebody had to send that fax to you anonymously, it really speaks volumes, I think. All right. Everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Dr. Hauser after this. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking with Dr. Paul Hauser today. Dr. Paul is a hydrometeorologist and former scientist for NASA, and he's also a whistleblower. He had some complaints with what the officials were doing about a year or so ago with the Klamath Dam removal process. And you know, during the break here, we have been talking about some really fascinating stuff. And so you had mentioned one of these things that is out there is this fish model that's being suppressed. So why don't you kind of talk to us about that?
Yeah, so one of the things that the leader of the planetary office has said that is causing him trouble and he wants to push aside is a fish model, a fish life cycle model for the coho salmon in the Klamath. And I decided to go and learn more about this model because it wasn't immediately obvious to me what it was. It's not published. And so I went and looked up the scientist who actually developed it, which was contracted from the Bureau of Reclamation. I had lunch with him last week, and he was telling me, you know, that all the science that they put into this model, and it's you know, a very carefully laid out model. It does have some assumptions and uncertainties that they've documented very closely, but in the end, what it's showing is that the upper Klamath flows that are affected by the Klamath Area Project are really not able to impact the migration and spawning areas of the coho salmon to a great extent, because there's so much more water that flows into the Klamath below Iron Gate Dam, and the coho salmon are largely tributary spawners. So they're not spawning in the main stem, which is the only part of the river that's really being affected by decisions in the water projects above Iron Gate. So the salmon swim up the main stem and then go off onto tributaries. And so that's essentially what this model is capturing, that those dynamics, and just saying, hey, you know, the decisions you make above Iron Gate on irrigation and water use really aren't impacting the life cycle of the coho all that much. And that is contrary to what some of the other scientists at other agencies think or want to believe. But they don't, it turns out, nobody has another life cycle model for this, for the coho and the klamath. They're just basing their ideas on, you know, maybe common wisdom or a desire to think one way or another, rather than actually having a model of their own that's competing with this particular model that the Klamath Fisheries Unit at the Climatary Office and Reclamation has produced.
Well, I could certainly see why they want to keep this suppressed, because if this is validated, it would negate the reason to pull out the dams.
Well, yeah, I mean, they were asking a different question. They weren't necessarily asking about the presence of dams. They were looking at, you know, the if they make different decisions on irrigation practices or water diversions from the upper Klamath, if that has any impact on the current migration or spawning of coho salmon below the dams. But I did actually ask the scientist, you know, could you ask a question that was, how could we operate the dams so that it maximizes the ability of fish to spawn and migrate? And he said, well, we could, and that's one of the reasons we made the model, but nobody's actually asked that question, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. One of the other things that we talked about, too, during the break is you were even having questions about the agencies that are involved in here. You know, should the Bureau of Reclamation even be the ones that are asking these kinds of questions? Why don't you talk to us a little bit about that?
Sure. So the current proposal that Jason Phillips, the head of the Climatary Office, has put forward is he wants to eliminate this fisheries research unit and let the USGS, the U.S. Geological Survey, do the research instead. And the problem I have with that is that operational agencies like the Bureau of Reclamation have research units for a reason. Is because their mission is fundamentally different than science-focused, science-only organizations like the U.S. Geological Survey. So the Reclamation really wants to understand how to fulfill a dual mission. They want to be able to deliver water and power at the same time as protecting the environment. And the USGS is primarily interested in, you know, mapping and observing the natural system and understanding it. So it's mainly a science organization. They're not necessarily asking the questions of how do we meet this dual mission. That's why operational agencies like Reclamation have research, is so that you can figure out how to achieve this balance between the environment and human use.
Hmm. Great points. Do you have any ideas why Secretary Salazar has decided to resign his post?
I don't know. I just have seen that he's wanting to spend more time with his family, but that's a common
thing. I was going to say, I think they say that all the time.
Yeah. So there's been some reviews of his performance, including reviews from Peter, the team that represented me on my scientific integrity allegation. And it's really not all that spectacular. So he, you know, the main thing is that he oversaw the moratorium on drilling in the Gulf that devastated jobs and economies across that region. And more recently, he made a decision on closing an oyster farm in California that is having additional detrimental effects on jobs. And I'm not an expert on it, but I've seen some science that indicates that there's almost no measurable impact from this. So it's certainly not justified scientifically. Maybe there's some other justification for it. But he's had less than a stellar tenure. So
okay. All right. And, you know, just one last quick question. We've got people listening to us all over the country, and in fact, from a couple from other countries. If someone is listening right now and they're running into a situation like what you ran into, where they're butting heads with somebody, you're running into issues of integrity, what would you say to them to help encourage them to step forward?
Well, at least in the U.S., I, you know, would encourage them, because we do have whistleblower laws and scientific integrity policies that are fledgling, but they're growing in strength, and we're seeing them being used. So I would encourage especially civil servants, but scientists across the nation to really be, you know, doing their work in for the public good rather than for a particular policy or mission, because I think that's going to be really the way to do ethical science and to fulfill your role as a scientist is to do science that is helping people rather than helping some mission that right. May not be all that ethical.
Great. Okay. All right. We do need to get going. I want to thank you again for joining us, and please keep us up to date on that FOIA request.
Okay. Thank you.
Stay with us. Our next guest will be Marcia Armstrong. She's a Siskiyou County Supervisor. She'll be giving us some updates on what's going on down in Klamath. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to Marcia Armstrong. She's the Siskiyou County Supervisor for District 5 and former chair of the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors. She's also served on the Federal Siskiyou County Resource Advisory Committee and serves on the Klamath River Fisheries Restoration Task Force, among multiple other assignments. And Marcia, it is a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely. And, you know, the big driver here is this Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement, which is essentially the effort to pull out these four hydroelectric dams down there on the Klamath. And this was recently extended to 2014. Who was involved in that extension, and why did they decide to extend it?
Well, there are actually two agreements. There's right. the Klamath Hydropower Settlement Agreement and the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement. And they agreed to extend these to 2014. There are about 42 signatories. The main ones are the state and the tribes and environmental groups and several others. But the federal government has not signed it yet because Congress has to approve the agency signing it. And so it was supposed to lapse in 2012. Secretary Salazar, Secretary of the Interior Salazar, was supposed to have signed, made a determination as to whether to go forward with it. And he was unable to do that for whatever reasons. We think it was because of our comments on the scientific integrity and our indications that we would proceed with a lawsuit, but Congress had not approved the federal government's participation in it. So that legislation has been thankfully delayed.
And the old commissioners, I've got here my notes, the old commissioners board signed to extend that KBRA. Did they sign that as lame ducks over the protests of the incoming board? And does that new board have any ability to basically remove themselves from that agreement?
Well, that's the Klamath County. We're Siskiyou County. We're in California. We're south west of them. But the Klamath County commissioners, the new ones that were elected, had run on a platform of being opposed to the removal of the dams. So the lame duck commissioners approved to extend the agreement till 2014. But I don't know what will happen with the new commissioners and whether they can rescind that. Or I don't think an action by a board is binding on a new one.
Hmm. Well, that'd be cool then to see if they can pull out of that. We also have now Senator Wyden. He's the chair of the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee. And I'm not sure, is that a new appointment?
I'm not sure. He's not my senator.
Oh.
Nor against senator. I know we have Tom McClintock,
right,
who is in the Natural Resources of the Water and Power Subcommittee, and he's opposed to the dam removal.
I think saying that he's opposed to it is kind of putting it very mildly. We've talked with him in the past, and he is adamantly against this. So, in fact, I think his words to me were, this will never get funded as long as he's on that committee.
Good.
I'm curious, though, what exactly do you think the proponents of dam removal are hoping that Senator Wyden could do, or someone like a Senator Wyden? Do they think that they can somehow strong arm, the Senate can somehow strong the House? So what do you think that they're hoping for?
Well, they'll probably put it through a different committee.
Mm.
They'll put it through agriculture or attach it to another bill is what I'm thinking.
So, Marcia, locally, how are citizens responding to this whole dam removal process?
Well, in 2010, we had an advisory ballot initiative as to whether people were in favor or in opposition to dam removal. And we actually got 79% of the voters in Siskiyou County were opposed to dam removal, and nearly 50% of Klamath County and 77% of the Tule Lake area up in that upper basin in California and Siskiyou County were opposed to it.
And do you know if the local citizenry, have they been keeping apprised of especially the scientific misconduct raised by Dr. Hauser and now these seven other scientists in regards to the Department of Interior? Is that making news at all down there?
Yes, it is. There's a lot of concern about dam removal. Of course, it directly impacts about 300 people who live around the Copco Reservoir, who would be facing mudflats.
Mm.
Below the dams, the environmental impact statement indicated that it will raise the level of the river and inundate several areas. It will have some effects on the nutrient management of the river because the reservoir is currently act as a settling pond for the phosphate nutrient-rich water that's coming from the upper basin. And that will be just allowed to bust through, so there'll be algae and all sorts of things. The 20 million cubic feet, I believe it is, or 20 million cubic yards of sediment will be released downriver over a period of time, and it's a very nutrient-rich sediment, so there's worries about deoxygenating, I can't say that word.
Oxygenating. Okay,
yeah.
Let's go ahead and take our break right here. Everyone stay with us. When we come back, we'll have more with Marcia Armstrong talking about getting some updates on what's going on down in the Klamath. Thanks for staying with us on the iSpy Radio Show. We're glad that you're joining us today. We are getting some updates on what's going on down in the Klamath Basin and the effort to remove those four dams on the river. And we're talking today to Marcia Armstrong. She's a Siskiyou County Supervisor from District 5 down there and former chair of the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors. And she's very intimately involved in all this. So, Marcia, you guys, the board down there sent this really fascinating letter. I just love this. This is 18 pages. And you guys don't pull any punches on this letter that you sent up to Interior Secretary Ken Salazar. This is from a year ago, back January 31st, 2012. And you guys outlined some of your concerns. If it's okay with you, I'd like to put that up on our website, ispyradio.com. And in one of your sentences here, you say to the secretary that what he is about to do will be a failure in epic proportions. And your letter points to the many flaws that he's committed. So I'm just going to kind of read some bullet points here, and then you just sort of jump in. When your blood starts to boil, one of the things you point out is that there's no recognition of errors in the sediment release calculations. And then another one is the diminished water quality occurring because of the dam removal may actually hurt salmon.
That's true.
Let's lump those first two together. What's this about the sediment release calculations? Apparently he didn't recognize that. And then talk to us a little bit about the water quality. We talked a little bit about that last time with the the sediment and stuff coming down there. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Well, they assume that they're going to release the dams, and that just a little bit of sediment's going to go out the first year, and then it's going to gradually go out each year and just kind of peak down, and some of it's going to stay behind and never go down. And we've seen like the Condit Dam and the Iowa, they had some surprises when they removed the dams, and that stuff just poured down the river, and that would be disastrous.
I noticed, I can't help but note just a tad bit of sarcasm in your voice. It sounds like this is going to be wishful thinking on their part.
Yeah, and even up on the Rogue, I believe that when they released the, they had cadmium or something was left over in the water, and it's caused a terrible toxic problem up there, and has clogged outlets, and it's really bad. And you know, they aren't adequately analyzing what's there before they let go.
Mm. So some more of the issues that you guys raised in that letter is you talk about these, that the sediment discussion only relates to short-term impacts and that there's no response to the fisheries issues. And there's also no discussion on the estuary and ocean impacts. Talk to us a little bit about those three issues.
Well, the fish, the coho particularly, are an endangered species. And they're actually a threatened species, but they're a three-year cohort, which means they only live 3 years. They go out and they come back every 3 years. Chinook will go out and come back at 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, but the coho come back at 3 years. So if you mess it up for 3 years, the species is gone.
Mm. Great point. Huh. Well, I had not made that connection. That's really interesting. And then another thing that you talk about is a lack of protection. I'm sorry, lack of flood protection for the area. You know, we've got relatives down in that area, and they'll talk about how some of these floods would come through in the area back before the dams, and these towns were cut off for days and weeks.
Right. I have communities. I've got about 100 miles of the Klamath River in my district, and I have communities during certain floods where the water goes over the only road in and out, and they're isolated completely. So I'm very concerned about the impacts of the county on roads and these communities and how they might be isolated, and how flood can, sediment's got to go somewhere, so it's going to raise the bed of the river down below it, and it's going to inundate areas that weren't inundated before.
Right, right. And then one of the things that you talk about, too, is that has really jumped out is this allegation that Secretary Salazar has falsely claimed that $20 million would be coming to Siskiyou County. And in your letter, it asserts that if the it asserts that it's as if the Department of Interior is attempting to buy signatures from the county supervisors. So where is that money coming from, and did it buy any signatures?
Well, we did not sign. There were only on that whole 100 some mile stretch, there are only two representatives of anybody that in the mid-Klamath. One was the Siskiyou County and the other was the Kurok tribe. So none of the people had any representation there other than the county. And we decided it was terribly unfavorable to, it had devastating impacts to our community. So we did not sign it and we opposed it. But we stayed in the process long enough to make things public so that people knew what was going on. All this was happening behind closed doors.
And was there really $20 million offer on the table?
Yes. Each one of the counties would get $20 million if they agreed to sign. Well, you know, first of all, we're not going to sign something that's terribly damaging to our people. Second of all, the agreements have a liability waiver for Pacific Power and the federal government and the state government, and the tribes have sovereign immunity. So none of the damages are going to be covered by anybody. So they're going to come out of our pocket.
Yes.
We're going to lose tax revenues from loss of a dam. It's just going to be terribly devastating to county government. Our roads are going to be terribly impacted by this heavy equipment moving up and down it. There's nothing to fix those roads And they're in pretty bad shape right now, you know. So it's we'll have bridges perhaps that are affected and roads, and it's just going to be a mess.
Absolutely. And, you know, I this idea that they could just wave $20 million in front of you guys and then just be able to walk away and not have any responsibility for what happened after that. I just admire the fact that you guys stuck it out and that you stayed with your integrity. All right, let's take a break right here. Everyone stay with us. We'll be back in just a little bit for our final segment with Marsha Armstrong. With us, this is our final segment. We're talking to Marsha Armstrong. She's a Siskiyou County Supervisor and the former chair of the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors, and we're getting some updates now on the Klamath Dam situation. And so, Marsha, what is your estimation of the economic impact to your region if those dams on the Klamath were pulled out?
Well, I think that it will be very severe. There'll be the immediate impact to the county of loss of tax revenue, and then the mitigation issues, of course, the people around Copco Reservoir and Iron Gate will have severe impacts to the value of their real estate because their view will be a mudflat. Copco is a bass fishery, so the recreation will be affected. J.C. Boyle has whitewater rafting that's a class 4, which is one of the few opportunities on the West Coast that you can whitewater raft year-round. So all those would be affected. And then we don't have any idea of how the fisheries will be impacted in the wildlife and the communities downriver.
I'm just real curious what your thoughts are about why Secretary Salazar has decided to leave, and also what do you think will be the impact on the KBRA now that he's left?
He had made a statement, I think, at one of the press clubs that he wanted the dams out. And this was before the EIR or the EIS was done, and it was supposed to be, you know, a fair review of the cost and benefit analysis and before he made his decision. And he had already made it. I think probably the administration, that was part of their agenda, and it didn't happen, so that was a failure probably of his agenda. I have no idea what other issues he had except for the scientific integrity of his department was severely on the line because of all the things that we caught them doing.
And do you think that his, what's your opinion of his tenure as Secretary of the Interior? I mean, do you think it's been successful? I mean, I guess just what's your impressions of it?
Well, from the get-go, he had that whole scandal that was shown that he had been absorbing the agenda of the extreme environmentalists and had designated. We have a national monument proposal down here that put everybody in an uproar, and there were several others, and that came from a meeting with environmentalists. They had an agenda to name all of these new national monuments, and that was his first scandal. And he's had several. He also had one, I think there's an oyster fishery down in the Bay Area where he's been caught with some questionable science. But in our case, they just took what the scientists said and they misstated it. I mean, they just completely, the scientists would say the fisheries, had an impact of negligible impact, positive impact if they pulled out the dam.
Yeah.
And they would restate it completely differently. And it had no relationship to what the actual panel scientist said.
I'm guessing you're not going to miss him.
No, I don't think so, except for we had Bruce Babbitt before, and I hope we don't have him again.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time, Marsha. And, you know, I got to tell you, I really commend you for your work down there. You guys are doing it the right way. You're a person of integrity, working inside the government. And too often, I think people get upset with the decisions that government makes, you know. And if you're upset with the decisions that are being made, then they need to step up and become one of those decision makers. So hats off to you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. And we hope to talk to you again soon and keep us up to date.
All righty.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks for staying with us on the iSpy Radio Show. It's time for us to get going. You know, this whole show has been about people of high integrity, and that's what keeps this country going. This is what matters, is people of high principles being unafraid to stand up when they know it's the right thing to do. And like I said at the beginning of the show, it's time to stop seeing government as the enemy and start seeing it as a mission field. Thanks for joining us today on the iSpy Radio Show. We do hope that you're at least a little wiser than when you got here, but as we always say, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's not just a show. It's self-defense. The iSpy on Salem Radio Show.